The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has announced a temporary ceasefire for the war in Ukraine. The Kremlin said the ceasefire would run from the morning of the 8th of May until the 11th. This is to mark the victory of Allied forces over the Nazis with the formal surrender of the Nazis in 1945. The proposed ceasefire comes as the Trump administration is attempting to put pressure on brokering a permanent ceasefire between Ukraine and Russia. The administration is not happy with the idea of a temporary ceasefire, saying it has to be permanent. For more on this, I'm joined by Emmanuel Chaz, Ukraine correspondent for RFI and France 24. Emmanuel, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, last time we spoke a few days ago, we were talking about the continuing bombardment in Kiev by Russia. How intensive is that bombardment all over Ukraine continuing, or is there any kind of a lull?
Well, there's definitely no lull here in Ukraine. Just for the past 24 hours, 8 people were killed and dozens were injured in various bombardments of civilian populations. So seen from here on the ground, it's very hard to believe that there's any ceasefire, a meaningful ceasefire by Russia when when civilians keep on being bombarded every day, which is why this new announcement of a unilateral ceasefire by Vladimir Putin is not really welcome, you know, as a solution for this war here in Ukraine. People are very wary of such announcements.
Do you think that the Kremlin announced this temporary ceasefire because of some of the public statements by Donald Trump that indicating that he may not believe Putin anymore, that Putin wants a peace?
Well, you know, it's been 3 years that Vladimir Putin has announced things about Ukraine that simply do not match facts. Even when we had this so-called Easter truce that was also unilaterally announced by Vladimir Putin, there were numerous violations of it. President Zelensky said that it was violated 3,000 times along the front line. So we saw at this time during Easter weekend a lull on bombardments on civilians, but fighting continued on the front line, also with heavy weaponry. And what the U.S. is asking is for a general ceasefire and a permanent ceasefire. So those announcements, be it the Easter truce, so-called Easter truce, and now this this truce around the date of the end of the Second World War in Europe, this is not seen as really an effort to reach, you know, a peace in Ukraine or to show willingness to stop the fighting, because it's only very temporary. And Ukraine on its side has agreed since March 11th to the temporary ceasefire of 30 days that was brought forward by Washington. So we see on the one hand those announcements by Vladimir Putin, which are actually de facto not applied in Ukraine. And on the other side, we have Kyiv, which has pledged to abide by this U.S. proposal of a temporary 30-day ceasefire on the condition that Russia does the same. But so far, it hasn't been the case.
In summary, I suppose it's fair to say that Ukraine does not believe anything that Putin or the Kremlin says.
Simply not, because Russia has violated, agreements, ceasefire agreements over the years, not just those past two so-called truces, but also earlier on, when the fighting started in 2014, there have been numerous treaties, ceasefires, and Russia continuously violated them. And also seen from Kyiv, Russia has unrealistic demands on Ukrainian territory. Just yesterday, Sergei Lavrov had repeated that Russia still was asking for Ukrainian territory to be recognized as Russian. I'm thinking about the regions of Luhansk, Donetsk and Crimea, which have been illegally occupied since 2014, but also about the oblast, the regions of Kherson and Zaporizhia that Russia also won. So seen from Kyiv, there's simply no sign that Russia is willing to, scale down its pretenses on Ukrainian territory.
Now, what do you make of Trump's statement that he believes that President Zelensky is prepared to allow Russia to remain in Crimea, even though that is not allowed under your constitution and it has been constantly denied by President Zelensky? But Trump said this a couple of days ago.
I mean, Washington has said numerous things in order to put pressure on the Ukrainian side to sit at the table of negotiations. But in doing so, it's ignoring also the constitution of Ukraine, which you just mentioned. Even if Volodymyr Zelensky, and we've talked about it before, was willing to hand in Crimea or any other illegally occupied territory, he simply cannot because he's a president. He's supposed to defend the Ukrainian constitution. So even if, of course, there's the real the awareness here in Ukraine that getting back those territories is going to be immensely difficult and will not happen tomorrow or in the weeks, months to come. There's also a very strong awareness that in terms of a legal perspective, Ukraine simply cannot give up its territories as defined since its independence.
Now, the question of the United States recognizing Crimea as part of Russia, but not expecting the rest of the world to do the same. What do you make of that idea?
Well, that would be a huge departure from the U.S. policy regarding Crimea since its illegal occupation in 2014. The U.S. administration throughout had always said that it was an illegal occupation. So that would definitely be a huge U-turn in U.S. policies. And, since the beginning of the Trump administration, there's been a change of tone between Washington and Kyiv, and Ukraine has very much realized that it couldn't count on its U.S. ally the way it could beforehand. And that would be a huge departure. But also international law is on the side of Ukraine so far, as in this Crimean territory is part of Ukraine, not only as per the Ukrainian constitution, but also as per international law. It is recognized as such since the independence of Ukraine.
Now, clearly at the funeral of Pope Francis, the assembled world recognized President Zelensky as something of a hero. He was greeted with applause. Trump, on the other hand, was greeted with silence. What do Ukrainians make of that meeting that happened within the Vatican, the spontaneous meeting brokered probably by Keir Starmer and Emmanuel Macron, that had the two leaders, Trump and Zelensky, sitting almost head to head?
Well, it was highly symbolic, of course, to see this picture of the two leaders facing each other in what seemed to be a more serene context than this disastrous Oval Office meeting that we've all witnessed. So there's still the hope that Donald Trump will see why Ukraine keeps on, being firm when it comes to its territorial integrity, for example. There's still the hope that Donald Trump will see that Vladimir Putin shows no sign of really wanting a peace. So there's hope that this Washington-Kyiv relationship will be salvaged. And of course, the signal that was sent to the rest of the world with having Volodymyr Zelensky and Olena Zelenska sat in the front seat, usually for Pope's funerals, representatives of countries are sat according to alphabetical order. And that was not the case for Ukraine. Ukraine was very much brought to the fore. So that's also a strong signal sent by the Vatican to the international community as to where Ukraine stands on the international scene.
Now, another development was the suggestion or the advice from the German defense minister to Ukraine not to cede any territory, not to agree to anything that the Americans were suggesting. Is that encouraging from your point of view?
It is encouraging, but also Ukraine, as much pressure as it gets from Washington and also from the Kremlin, of course, Ukraine knows where it stands and there's a constitution in Ukraine. No matter what Washington or the Kremlin say, there are democratic institutions there that are very much valid. And, just because the country is under Russian aggression since 2014 doesn't mean it has to de jure recognize occupied territory as Russian. So it's encouraging for Kyiv to also get reminders that its position is actually defended and supported by its allies such as Germany.
Now, Reuters has reported that it has seen counter-proposals to those suggested by the United States, and it is probably accepted by most people that the proposals from the United States are echoing Putin's ambitions for the occupation of Ukraine. So do we know what the European counterproposals look like?
Well, this would definitely not entail a recognition of Ukraine that its occupied territories are de facto, or de jure, rather, Russian. This, you know, this recognition on a legal point of view, this will never happen on the Ukrainian side, even if Ukraine cannot do much to get its territory back as it stands. But Ukraine also reminded this week that it's very much defending itself against the Russian aggression. You know, when Volodymyr Zelensky reminded shortly after the bombing of Kyiv that it would be good if the rest of the world also remembered that Ukraine was defending itself. There's only one aggressor in this war, which is Russia. If Russia tomorrow decides to stop the fighting, there will be no war. And that's what Foreign Minister Andriy Sybiha also said yesterday in reaction to this unilateral ceasefire announcement around the 8th of May by Vladimir Putin. He said, well, why having such a short ceasefire announced unilaterally when Ukraine actually said it would abide by a longer ceasefire and hopes to reach a permanent one, you know. So Ukraine is very much comforted in the support of its allies in Europe. And I think that's also encouraging for Kyiv at a time when it's under really strong pressure by Washington to sit at the table of negotiation at any cost.
Now, what about Marco Rubio, who said that this week is a critical week? And the suggestion was that the United States would walk away from this peace process, if such as it is, if there isn't progress this week. Do you believe that? Because, you know, Trump needs a win. He promised peace in 24 hours. It's now 100 days almost. No sign of that ceasefire or any peace process. So do you believe the Americans that they would walk away from the process?
I mean, we're facing a very unstable situation diplomatically. We've seen how quickly things can change. We've seen that with the disastrous meeting in the Oval Office. And we've seen that also Donald Trump was getting really angry at Vladimir Putin last week.
Do you believe that when he said, maybe he's just tapping me along? He said that on Air Force One on the way back from the Vatican. I mean, do you believe that? Or is he simply saying what he thinks he needs to say to keep his critics on side?
Well, it doesn't really matter what I personally believe. I think he's trying to put pressure also on Ukraine to make concessions that Ukraine is not ready to make, and also putting some pressure on Vladimir Putin. We've seen Donald Trump being really angry at Vladimir Putin after the bombing of Kyiv and saying, Vladimir, stop, as if he was just now realizing that the Russian president doesn't abide by its own words. So it's certainly an attempt to put pressure, and certainly it is an option that the U.S. will withdraw from negotiations should no result be reached at some point.
And what would the attitude in Ukraine be to a withdrawal by the United States from negotiations? I mean, it appears to me that the interjections by Trump are not particularly helpful to Ukraine. So if they just get off out of the process and allow Europe to do the negotiations with Ukraine and then face to face with Lavrov and Putin or whatever, would that be a better outcome?
Well, indeed, like the, you know, Ukrainians have noticed the change of tone from Washington since this Trump administration, as I was mentioning earlier. And if this administration decided to really, in effect, side with the Kremlin by continuing to have demands that exactly match what the Kremlin wants, this is not an option either. So if the U.S. withdrew from such negotiations, it wouldn't make such a big difference diplomatically for Ukraine. The difference would be, of course, with the big question of military equipment. The U.S. Is the biggest provider of military equipment for Ukraine. Ukraine has long understood that it had to develop its own weaponry, its own defense capacity, and it has long understood with Donald Trump that it has to turn towards its other allies also to try and, you know, compensate any withdrawal from the U.S. in terms of diplomacy, but also in terms of military equipment. So, of course, it would be a hardship for Ukraine, but also Ukrainians have faced adversity since 2014. They were not always helped at the level they are currently by the international community, and they would continue resisting because it's really a war of survival for Ukrainians.
Emmanuel Shaz in Kyiv, thank you very much for joining us on the program. Now, some of the comments coming in, if Trump is so keen to appease Putin and give him territory, maybe he could give him a slice of Texas. That's a suggestion from Will. Well, it's not Texas he'd be after. Putin would be after Alaska. which of course it but joins to Soviet territory or Russian territory. So that would be the obvious place to start. If you accept that Trump is a Russian asset, then it follows that everything he says about Putin is rehearsed and vetted by the Kremlin. Listen closely to his so-called criticism and you'll notice there is no substance in it, just vague representations. It would be better if the USA withdrew from these so-called negotiations. There are no diplomats in this administration, only fools with huge egos. The lives of millions are at stake and Trump is making a bad situation worse. Putin is out of control, probably insane, and Trump isn't far behind. Europe needs to distance itself from the USA and try to squeeze Putin with tougher sanctions.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.